welcome to Rewatchable 32 for Veronica Mars. Today we're discussing episodes 9, My Mother the Fiend, and 10, One Angry Veronica. I'm Danielle, and with me we have Gabrielle, Caitlin, and Merle makes her return. So say hi, everybody. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back, Mara. We haven't heard from you in a very long time, but it's nice to have you back.
Yeah, it's fun to be talking about Veronica Mars again.
So good. We were just talking before we started the recording about how you had a whirlwind, watching spree. Did you, really quick question, did you enjoy the end of season one?
Oh, yeah. God, this was like I've really missed the boat on this one. I'm so impressed that I managed to not be spoiled by you guys, though. It was really good. I feel like I kind of called it a little bit. I didn't know it was going to be, like, Logan's dad, but I was like, oh, it's going to be someone that we know, and, like, it's going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was really good. I did enjoy it. And then I have to say, like, going into season two, I was feeling a little bit like, how are they going to top that whole storyline? But I guess with the bus thing is working well so far from what I've seen of season two. So that was good.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad that you liked it. Because I think I remember the last time you were on, you were sort of so possibly about things, unless I'm remembering wrong. So, but that makes me happy to hear.
Yay.
Yay. All right. So let's just jump right in to episode 9, My Mother the Fiend. Here's a quick synopsis for all of you, in case it's been a while since you've watched the episode. Here we go. Veronica and Duncan have to co-parent for health class, but he forgets to tell her that his parents don't know about them, leading to an awkward encounter with Celeste. Vice Principal Clemens gives Veronica detention for stealing his keys, and she finds her mother's permanent file. Apparently, Leanne got in trouble for spreading a rumor with Veronica's health teacher, Mrs. Hauser. Veronica finds out that Leanne's rumor was connected to the prom baby who was born at Leanne's senior prom. Suspecting Celeste, Veronica investigates, only to find it was the lunch lady Mary Mooney and the current principal Moorhead's child. Trina Eccles was the baby, who conveniently was in town that week to help with the school play and battle with Kendall. Logan and Weevil team up to find out who killed Felix, but have a fight so no one suspects that they're working together. Cassidy enlists Mac to set up his website and corporation and makes her set it up so Kendall is the front woman. In the last minutes of the episode, Veronica visits Meg and sees that she's pregnant. And then Meg wakes up. And so that's where we're at the end of episode 9. So it's quite a cliffhanger. But let's start with talking about Duncan. He's kind of always where we start, so why not just keep up the pattern here? So do you think Duncan was wrong not to tell Celeste about his relationship, Veronica, considering that it's been going on for, I think at this point, probably 6 months?
It's telling that he doesn't tell her about it, that he doesn't feel comfortable bringing it up. And we've talked about how maybe their relationship is kind of this regression. So it's interesting. I don't know if he's in the right or wrong. It's kind of crappy of him, but I do think it's telling about where his mindset is about their relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I think Duncan should have told his parents that he was dating Veronica again, especially because it is high profile and could be in the news with Lily's case. I think it just shows how they're not on the same page that he hurt Veronica by not telling his parents. You know, he made her feel like she wasn't important to him.
I think it makes sense for Duncan's character, though, that he didn't tell. But I just cannot even bring myself to care about Duncan, like, the slightest bit. Mm-hmm. So this episode, I was just like, Duncan, shut up. Like, no one cares. More Mac, you know?
More Mac.
Oh, that was great. But, yeah, this whole thing is just, it's just meant to be, like, it's not working out, and the relationship is, you know, it's not fantastic. So, whatever.
Yeah, I feel like with each passing episode, Duncan just sort of pulls further and further away, and so that makes us care about him less and less, which is sort of annoying, but sort of like a relief for those of you I know who just don't like him or never liked him, period.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, like with Duncan's character, it's not even like I dislike him, I just am totally apathetic towards him, and I just don't understand, like, his purpose on the show. So I guess, you know, you may have talked about this before, but I guess the chemistry was just not really there with the actors. But like going back to Celeste, I have to say the one thing that does bug me about Veronica Mars, and maybe it's because I watched 16 episodes in like 18 hours, but it's this, like, you know, all parents suck trope, and the fact that the only person on that show that like manages to act like a parent is Keith, and everyone else is just disappears or, you know, like doesn't know, and we can get to it later with Kendall, but like doesn't know how to look after their kids, or with Celeste is just like a serious bitch. It's like, oh, I'm a little bit over that, I have to say.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of wish we saw Jake Kane in this episode because he's been portrayed more favorably than Celeste. So I think it would have added to the show to have a parent that, again, isn't the best parent, but isn't, you know, Celeste status, and just she's portrayed so negatively. It's really hard to like her at all.
Right, and it's a kind of a running joke at this point that like half the kids on this show are emancipated from their parents. So.
And I just wanted to throw out there, I mean, we haven't seen them in a while, but the Fennell family, I think that up until the drama with well, what's his name from Chicago, I think she's also kind of a good parent role model, but we don't see enough of that, so we only get it from Mr. Mars.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
Let me see. Speaking of parenting, I guess we'll move on to Kendall and kind of her relationship with Cassidy. Because in this episode, we see Cassidy, we think he's doing a homework project at first, or at least that's what we're led to believe. And then we find out he's actually setting up his own company. And even though he pretty much hates Kendall, he has no choice but to make her like the image of the company. So what did you think of him in this episode, and even in his relationships with other characters like Mac and Kendall?
I think he's portrayed as being really smart, and I actually liked Cassidy a lot in this episode. I thought he's smart, he's cute, he's kind of boy next door who's not a complete jerk like a lot of the guys we see on the show. And I like how he took Kendall down a peg. I appreciated that and how he was just honest with her. And I think him and Mac were really cute. I want to see more of that.
Yeah, it's
I
interesting to
agree.
me. Oh, it's interesting to me why they're focusing on him so much. Because obviously, like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel like something is going to happen with that family because season two has been so focused on, like, the dad running off and then Kendall and Logan and now, like, Cassidy with his company and, like, all of this stuff. I don't know. I just feel like they are getting a lot of attention, that family, and especially Cassidy, not for any particular reason that I can see so far. So I think, like, for me, I would hope that that is setting up something. Because the only other kids they focus on that much are, like, Duncan, Logan, Wallace occasionally, and Veronica.
Yeah, it seemed so jarring when those two just like front and center season two. Like, what are you doing here? So it's interesting. And I've always, Cassidy is far more palatable than Dick for many, many reasons. But I liked that there was a measure of kind of self-awareness going on here, that, you know, he knows he can't be the front of this, but he is very smart. And so he takes Kendall down and then still kind of is able to prop her up so that she'll do what he needs her to do. So I appreciated that, though. I, like Marma, I'm interested to see where the drama with this family is going because it has seemed unwarranted from where we were in season one so far.
Yeah, and I mean I'm a fan of anything with Charisma Carpenter in it, so like more screen time for Kendall is all good with me, and I actually find her to be a really fascinating character. So I sort of hope they don't just throw away her storyline now that she's, you know, just the face of the company or whatever. I hope that she gets a bit more to do.
Is she the character that you were talking about on Twitter that was on Buffy?
Yeah,
Is that what you were thinking?
Uh-huh. Yeah. She,
Okay. I know,
oh.
it's terrible. I
Oh,
know. Yeah,
Caitlin knows what's going on.
I know what's going on, and I didn't watch Buffy, so I give
Oh,
myself props.
come on. There is
No,
a
you don't
double
get.
dose of Buffy
You
alums
didn't watch Buffy. You get
together.
no props. You need to watch
I'm
Buffy.
I watched a few
sorry.
episodes.
Basically.
No, I do. I really do. It's on my list.
Best TV show. Yeah, so Charisma Carpenter and Allison Hannigan were both on Buffy, and it was just funny to me that they both featured like quite prominently in this and in very different roles. Although, oh no, she is in a different role. Yeah, in very different roles. And so when I was watching it, I was like, oh, it's like alternate universe Buffy with Cordelia and Willow like having a bitch fight, which was very entertaining to all Buffy fans. And when you watch Buffy, you'll get the joke, Danielle.
I look forward to it. Really quickly, to go back, before you were talking about kind of Cassidy and his family, and I never really thought about it before until you were kind of emphasizing it, but I feel like season two is a lot, like has a lot to do with families and like how families work, because they focus a lot of time and energy on the Casablancas family. They focus a lot of time and energy on, I forgot their last name, but Gia's family. And you see Wallace is starting to put like his family's kind of coming together and falling apart. And I just think it's really interesting that while we do have all of these class problems, we have this sort of family drama thing going on in the background that we didn't necessarily get in season one. And I really enjoy it because it kind of gives us a better look at the characters themselves, because you have to see where they come from to kind of know how they act, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and Meg's family as well, I would
And
add.
Meg's family, yeah.
Who are
Exactly.
crazy, and I can't say the word I wanted to say on the family-friendly podcast, but insane.
Yeah, oh, agreed. So yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Let's see. And one of the storylines is about, I mean, kind of in the same storyline as the Celeste thing, but Vice Principal Clemens puts Veronica up to this task of detention, I guess. What did we think of him in the episode as a whole? Like, did we think his actions in the beginning were kind of weird and uncalled for, or was it just kind of like a normal day in Veronica Mars's life?
Sneaky, sneaky. I laughed so hard at the end though when he changed his nameplate and it was like Principal Mr. Fay Clemens. I loved that. That was hilarious. But I'm very cynical, so I assumed that he was interested in a power grab the whole time. So I was like, you are far sneakier than I have been giving you credit for. So now you are on my list. Like I'm keeping an eye on you now.
I
It
love
actually
him.
made me, yeah.
Go ahead.
What were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say it made me respect him a lot more that he actually used Veronica, because I love Veronica, but she uses a lot of people. So to see her be bamboozled by Vice Principal Clemens, I thought was genius. And so I respected him, even though he, maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, but he still was kind of a boss in this episode.
Yeah. I actually forgot about his storyline. And so in the beginning of the episode, I just thought it was so random that he was catching her on this now and was like so angry about something that we didn't even know about. So I thought at first that it was just kind of, it didn't fit. But then once we got to the end and I remembered what was going on, then I felt better about it. But I feel like the beginning is just so awkward. Like it's forced almost, which I guess should have been an indication that it wasn't as it seemed, of course, but. And with this storyline, did we like seeing Trina again, Allison Hannigan? Do we think that she was more believable as Trina this time rather than in season one?
I love her. She's fantastic. But like Allison Hannigan, not Trina. But Trina is a fun character. I think she's okay because she's like very sporadically used. So if she was on all the time, it would get really grating. But she's also a good kind of foil to Logan, I feel like, who's so emo all the time. Like we'll talk about this later. But like Trina's just. She's just really fun. She's really fun to watch, and she had so many great scenes in this episode. I'm not sure if I bought the sort of heartfelt reunion bit at the end, but when they're in the hospital and, you know, she's like, "Oh, if we do it tonight, we can get it out tomorrow." I was like, "You go, girl. You go."
She's so her father's daughter,
Right.
her adoptive
Her
father's
adopted
daughter.
father.
Minus the
But
like
oh my God, the
murderous
way,
tendencies.
yeah, but the way she was like, "Oh, we want to get this in the gossip rags. Like, this is great. I can get so much money." I'm like, "You are so Aaron Eccles's daughter. It's ridiculous and also hilarious."
It's just so fun to watch.
So besides Merrimut, did anybody else kind of believe in the reconciliation or like meeting of Trina and Mary at the end? Or was it just kind of like fake to you?
I believed it a little bit. I didn't necessarily believe that she was super happy about Mary Mooney being her mother, but I think she was just happy to find her mother. And I thought it showed that she had a compassionate side. I really loved it when she reunited with Logan and kind of tore down Kendall. That made me laugh, and it was like, oh, you actually do care about your little brother, even though you're kind of heartless most of the time. So I appreciated her much more in those two scenes.
Yeah, I agree. I really liked that scene too, actually. Their banter back and forth was fantastic, and it did show some sort of caring, as much as Trina can, I guess.
I think the
And
problem, oh, I think the problem for me was just they have made Trina almost like a caricature of like vapidness, and I felt like maybe she was too far for them to pull her back to this moment. So it just felt a bit not disingenuous, but sort of like that. And it's not that I don't think that I'm sure she was, you know, like very pleased to find out who her mother was and everything, but it was so far disconnected from the character that they have shown us so like so far in the show. So it was a bit jarring for me just to watch that. But I like her relationship with Logan a lot more. I found that like a lot more believable.
yeah, I liked
yeah.
it. I agree with that. Were you
I'd
gonna
be
say something about
curious. I was gonna say that I'd be curious to see what she does with that information now that she has it. Like, I can buy kind of a reeling back of the over-the-topness in that moment when she finds out the truth, but then it's how she is moving forward now that she knows the truth that is most interesting to me.
Let's see. Let's move on to Logan a little bit and talk about our favorite bro TP. Caitlin, are you pleased?
Just my heart has been breaking with how they've been breaking up my bro TP this season, and then they had a moment, and I was like, okay, there might be hope. Though honestly, if I were Logan, I would not be that willing to go along with it after getting
Yeah.
kidnapped and having some Russian roulette played with my body parts. I don't think I would be nearly as go with the flow with it as he is being, but still, I love my bro TP, so I'm happy to see some hints of reconciliation there.
I really enjoyed that scene because you could tell that they weren't, it was very real. I mean, you can say that about a lot of things, but you could tell that they weren't entirely trusting of each other, but they knew that in order to get what they both wanted, they had to sort of come together.
I really enjoyed their fake fight.
It was good, wasn't it?
I
It
just
got out
think
a lot.
like it was really funny, but at the same time it just made so much sense for those two, like partly for their cover story and partly just 'cause you could tell they kind of just wanted to like hit each other. You know, there was still a little bit of that going on in their friendship or
Oh
almost
yeah, they had to get it
friendship.
out.
Right, exactly. There was a lot of tension there, so they needed to work that out. And yeah, I found that like it's just such a teenage boy thing to do. Be like, oh, you know, we're having some problems. Okay, let's just hit each other and then we'll be fine.
Can we
It'll
talk
work.
about how alike they are, though? Like, I just find it really funny that even though they're from different sides of the track, that they're both leaders of their respective groups. They both, you know, are beholden to Veronica in different ways. And they both loved Lily. Like, they're very similar in a lot of ways, as well as like their defense mechanisms are similar. So I'm glad that they're back to being bros.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me because if Lily was attracted to them both, like I guess I assume like they must have some similar characteristics that she lacked in both of them. So, yeah, I think I like a lot what they've done with their friendship, and for the most part, I feel like they have avoided the sort of like obvious way to go with it, which would have been like they just hate each other and they hate each other and then finally they're friends and that's the end. Like, I like that it's this ongoing struggle with the way that they feel about themselves and about each other, and then, like societal pressures and class differences and everything. I think it's really fascinating the way that they're portraying their bro TP.
And it makes sense that they would be very similar because those similarities are the things that make them knock heads so frequently. But
Exactly.
it's also what draws them to each other is they have these things that they can see about themselves and each other, but then they also knock heads because of that. So it's interesting to see them as mirrors while they're being bros.
So bros. But yeah, no, it's nice to see them back together. And it'll be fun watching them team up. I think everybody will enjoy that. And let's move on to our last point for this episode, which was the mildly, I don't know, mildly large cliffhanger at the end, where Veronica finds out that Meg is pregnant. Reactions, thoughts, anyone?
Sigh.
Sigh. All
It's
right.
just, pregnancy is just one of those tropes that makes me very twitchy in a
Same.
lot of shows. So when I see a show going there, I get very, very nervous and kind of twitchy. I'm like, I don't know if you want to go there. It's forced drama in a lot of ways, and it can be done very badly, and it's done a lot. So I'm just. I and where it ends up going in the next episode, I'm not loving this even a little bit.
Yeah,
I
I'm with
understand
you.
completely. I have that same reaction for these things where if the show starts going towards pregnancy, I can't deal with it. And I know there are a lot of fans for this show, but because it started with pregnancy, I could never do The Secret Life of the American Teenager. I could not. I refused. Because I don't like that trope, and I feel the same way you do about Meg being pregnant.
Well, the show also was not necessarily the best, so I think you're okay there.
Right, but I never even started. I never gave it a second look because it based around pregnancy.
I just assumed that
But
like Meg was dead by this point. I just completely forgot that she existed until they started being like, "Oh, like is she gonna wake up?" Also, outside question, but what commitments did the actors that played Meg and Wallace have in this season so that they had to be like cut out of so much of it? Because that entire time that we were watching this, I was just like, man, what other show were they in so that they got cut out of this?
The guy who plays Wallace, Percy Jaggs the third, I don't think he had another commitment. I think it was just where they wanted his character to go because he's listed
Right.
as a series regular throughout Veronica Mars and is supposedly in every single episode. So I think that was just more of a character choice. Ilona Tal, who played Meg, I'm not sure what her other commitments were.
What year was
Caitlin.
this? Because Meg shows up,
Right.
or Ilona Tal shows up as Meg in
Supernatural.
Supernatural in season two, which would have been 2006.
I
So what
think this
year
is
was
the
season
same
two?
time. Season
Okay.
two here, or Veronica Mars started in 2005, so the season finale would have been 2006. So right now, the episode we're in would be airing in 2006. So I'm assuming it's Supernatural that took her away
Yeah.
from Veronica Mars.
Because she shows up in, I think, the second episode of season two of Supernatural, so that would
Yeah,
be
that
just
sounds right.
immediate.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. So yeah, I don't think Wallace went anywhere, but I think Meg went on to the CW for Supernatural
Oh, that
or
just makes me
WB.
more annoyed about what happened with Wallace's character then. I could kind of think it was all right if I was like, oh, he's like doing another show, it's okay. But now I'm just bugged by it because I was stupid. Also, speaking of annoying tropes, like this is
Sure.
just a pet peeve of mine, but the health class looking after a baby trope is my least favorite thing to watch.
Yes.
My
Oh
app
my
like
God.
okay, I need to ask a foreign question, which is like, Does this
sure.
actually happen in your schools? Because that does not happen here. That is not a thing that
It
ever
didn't
happens.
happen in my high
No,
school.
not in
The
mine.
eggs or the bees. Like, we didn't do that in my health class.
Right,
That's
I kept thinking of bad eggs, Caitlin, and just like Xander boiling his egg, and that's what I thought through this Buffy reference. Yeah.
Yeah.
In my high school, we had stacks of flour that we had to take care of. And so, like, you would walk around, you'd make sure that it wouldn't get like holes punctured in it, and you would have to take it to all of your classes for like a week. And then if you wanted extra credit for health class, I think you could take an animatronic baby for like 2 nights. But I don't think a lot of other high schools did it. And honestly, like, I started throwing my sack around, and I think I had my band teacher kick it at some point, so it wasn't really a big deal.
It's just like.
But yeah, I don't like the animatronic baby thing either. It's just so obnoxious because it's not really that normal anymore, I don't think.
Right. It just seems. First of all, it seems ridiculous. So the whole time you're watching it, you're like, seriously, is this what's happening? But also, like, I get it was a tie-in to, her. The prom baby and Trina and Meg's pregnancy and everything, but it was just. It feels so lazy. Like, it's such a lazy way to connect it. Like, they were like, oh, everyone's pregnant this episode. Okay, give them fake babies. Like, that solves a problem for the rest of the plot line. Just, oh, bugs me so much.
Not only lazy, but just dated. Like, I just felt like it dated Veronica Mars a lot by having that in there. And also by having her being able to pick her partner. That would have never happened. There would have had to be an awkward moment. I would have loved to see her with Logan as her partner. Every time I watch that episode, I hope it's him and it's Duncan and I get sad. So.
I mean, I graduated from high school in 2006 and we didn't have anything remotely near that.
I
So
feel
it's
like
even the time
media,
frame.
I think media just thinks that that's how it works for like TV Hollywood when it just really doesn't, and they need to figure that out. But was anyone surprised that Meg was pregnant? Like, was that out of character in anyone's mind?
Yeah, I was really surprised. Although, once the pregnancy was revealed, I have to say, like, the rest of her plot line seemed pretty confirmed. I guess, like, what was going to happen next. I was like, oh, this is where this is going, because they didn't really give her a lot of options. But I don't know. I really liked Meg for a lot of the earlier episodes that she was in, and then she just got like really the whole thing where she was in love with Duncan and he was like the love of her life and the thing with like the bus and the limo and all of that, I wasn't really buying it. So the pregnancy thing seemed very out of character for her, and maybe it like makes more sense when we have the context of her crazy family. But for Duncan as well, I feel like the two of them together this would not have happened.
No, I agree. I don't think they were together. I don't think they were happy in the relationship long enough for this to happen, because we see Meg run out after Duncan in the second to last episode, I think in season one, where he starts smashing a car. And like at that point, you get the idea that their relationship isn't that great, and they'd only started dating not that long before. So I feel like this just kind of came out of nowhere, and it just doesn't seem probable to me.
Yeah, also I feel like the time frame doesn't work, but again, I did watch 16 episodes in a really short amount of time, so I'm not super clear on how the time frame is going in Veronica Mars, but I did feel like how this isn't, because she was, 8, 9 months for sure. And
I had the same issue,
I was
yeah.
like, maybe if it was a few months, it would make more sense, but then they wouldn't have like, obvious pregnant belly. But yeah, that was the main thing for me. I just don't understand how it worked in the time frame of the show.
Well, not only the time frame, but I find it hard to believe that Meg lost her virginity. I just find it out of character for her because she was seen as this sweet and innocent girl who, wouldn't let Cole go beyond a certain stage. And she and Duncan didn't seem that serious, especially after he freaked out about Logan and Veronica. So I just find it hard to believe that, stuff happened with them.
Yeah, it's just all a little sketch. So in in one sense, it is a good cliffhanger, but the other sense, it's just kind of like, oh God, where is this going? But we will find out where it is going. So let's go through our favorite scenes, favorite lines, and we'll get to the next episode where we get into it a little bit more. Let's see. My favorite scene was, we talked about this, but it was Logan and Weevil's fight and their kind of rekindling of the bro tiki. I just really enjoyed it. Gabrielle, what was yours?
Mine was when then Principal Van Clemens admits what happened and kind of admits that he used Veronica. And I just thought his smile and his smirk were perfect. So I love Van Clemens.
Caitlin?
Mine was, and I know I stole some people's, I apologize, was Trina and Kendall having their little cat fight. And my reason was solely because it was Willow and Cordelia, alternate universe, Buffy fangirl heaven right there, and I was just dying from that. So it was great.
And Marima?
Well, yeah, Caitlin stole mine. Let's be clear. My other
Stole
one,
everybody.
yeah, he stole everybody's because that was beautiful, that scene. My other one was basically every scene that Trina was in. I really enjoy when they make actors act like badly, as if they're terrible actors. So I like when actors play actors in things. So her scene when they're in like the drama room, and then again when they're in the hospital and it's like so melodramatic was just very, very amusing to me. So I enjoyed all of her scenes, but those ones especially.
All right, and then favorite lines. Mine happens during, surprise, the bro TP scene. And Logan says, "So what? We team up, get matching capes, I ride a shotgun in a sidecar." And Weevil says, "Something like that." They're just cute. I can't help it.
Boys.
Adorable.
Gabrielle, what was your favorite line?
So mine's between Mac and Beaver. And so this is after Mac sets up Beaver's website and asks him to tip her off when he goes public, which is against the law for anyone who is wondering. So she goes, "Still, you're admiring my moxie, aren't you?" Cassidy, something like that. And it's just so sweet. It warms my heart.
Funny story, I was just today watching reruns of Castle, and Mac was in an episode and she was the killer.
No, really?
Spoilers.
Yeah, she was. It
That's
was like three
crazy.
seasons ago, so.
I love her
But.
on Grey's. She's great.
She's on there too. Oh gosh, I need to catch up on things. Let me see here. Caitlin, what was your favorite line?
So mine was. Between Duncan and Veronica, and Duncan says, "Hey, now you're not about to badmouth Celeste, are you?" And Veronica ever sarcastically says, "Heavens, no! I mean, what could I say about that saint? She's warm-hearted, good-humored, lovely woman of high breeding and impeccable social grace." I'm like, catty.
Oh man. And Marma, favorite line.
Oh, I just really enjoyed all of the interactions between Beaver and Kendall in this. So, I really liked when he was like, "I find value in your desperation," to her, which basically I feel like just summed up her entire character very accurately.
Pretty much, and it knocked her down a peg or two for that moment.
Yeah, I think she'll bounce back. I have a feeling.
All right, so then let's move into episode 10. Again, that one is titled One Angry Veronica. And here's a quick synopsis. Veronica cuts the BS and lets Duncan know that she knows about Meg. Duncan says it means nothing, and Dick interrupts the moment by inviting them to a party and letting them know that Meg woke up. The Lily and Aaron sex tapes are missing, and Keith is investigating the theft. Duncan and Veronica visit Meg, and she makes them promise to make sure her parents or their adoption agency doesn't get her baby. Veronica is called to jury duty and is the foreman of a class war case. Keith finds out that Leo stole the tapes to pay for his sister's care, and Logan was the buyer. Logan watched the tapes, erased them, burned them, just as Keith discovered him, which was too late to do anything. Meg dies due to a blood clot. Her daughter Faith survives, and Wallace comes back. Happy New Year's, Veronica. So let's jump right back into our least favorite discussion point, Meg's pregnancy. So, Duncan's reaction to hearing that Meg was pregnant. Thoughts? We saw his reaction sort of in a letter, was that 2 or 3 episodes ago?
Two episodes.
Was it two? So I don't know. Can anybody get a reading on Duncan, or is he just so hard to kind of pin down?
I despised him in this episode, which is really hard for me to despise any character on Veronica Mars. But when he said to Veronica after she just cuts the BS and says, like, I know Meg's pregnant, and he's like, oh, it doesn't mean anything or it doesn't change anything. And I wanted to be like, yeah, actually it does. Like, are you really being serious? Are you really disregarding the feelings of Veronica, Meg, and your unborn child? So he just annoyed he really annoyed me in this episode, especially with how he dealt with Meg.
Yeah, and I don't think it makes any sense. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Duncan, but I think he's fine as a character, and he hasn't been shown to be a horrible person or, anything like that. And his entire reaction to this,
Anything at all.
it didn't make, well, and he just doesn't have a personality, but his entire reaction to this made no sense for his character. Like, and him hiding it and everything from Veronica. I have to say, the only part of this I really enjoyed was that they, like, cut to it straight away instead of having another episode of, oh, I know that she's pregnant, but Duncan doesn't know that I know, and blah 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 blah. Like, that would have been so tedious. So I like that Veronica was just like, hey, I know what's up, and they got straight into it instead of dragging it out even longer.
Yes, she actually asks questions of things, which she doesn't do a lot of times, but like you said, I'm really glad that she just cut straight to the point this time instead of having it dragged out again.
It's such a gross response, though. Like, this is your child. Like, you helped create a life, and you are so dismissive of it. Like, that goes from having no personality to, like, the worst personality.
Yeah, and he goes from like dreaming of Meg, and you get the idea at the first half of the season that like he still has feelings for Meg, and then this comes along and it's just so strange because it's an extension of Meg, it's an extension of himself. I don't know. Just not good. Let's see. Was it right for Veronica to visit Meg with Duncan? Or you think she should have gone by herself? Or not at all.
I thought she should have gone because I thought they needed to make up as they were friends and, it was tense between them. However, I thought it was a little jarring that she went with Duncan. I just thought it was a little out of place for her to not flaunt their relationship in front of her, but at the same time,
It's a reminder.
as a reminder, and also just involve herself in honestly private business.
Does anybody have an opinion on the promise that she made, Veronica made? I mean, it's not technically out of character since we saw what happened with her family. But do we think that her turnaround with her feelings toward Veronica were kind of strange, and then having her make this promise on top of it?
It was pretty transparent foreshadowing, anyway.
Yeah. Lazy writing.
Pretty much. It's
Like,
kind of like
gee,
an
I wonder
open.
if something's going to happen if you say that, gee.
Shoot. I wonder if she's going to make it through the episode.
Yeah, I don't think it was like. Sorry, a train just went past. I don't think it was entirely out of character for her. It kind of makes sense that, she wakes up from her coma and she realizes, the things that she was mad about before are perhaps not super important in this current situation. So that was fine, but again, it was, oh, just wait till the end of the episode and you will find out why. So that was a bit lame. I don't like what's happened with Meg's character. I really enjoyed Meg, and I hate that she's been written off in this way and like without turning this into like a raging feminist debate. I really dislike when female characters like this are killed off, obviously, to just further the plot of the guy, which is exactly what happened here. And I found it very frustrating just to watch this episode.
It's
It's
such a waste.
Yeah, she was a
Like
great
it,
character.
she was, and I that makes me wonder if they had originally planned to write her off like this, or if it was due to necessity because she had a little bit more of a role on Supernatural, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, either way, it sucks, but I wonder if it was always the intention.
right, and I don't have any issue with her leaving the show. I just don't like the way that they did it. And I realize that they did it 'cause of Duncan as well, but he has so many other things going on in his storyline that they really didn't need to do this to get the end that they wanted for either of the actors. So just the fact that they went about it in this way really does bother me a lot.
Well, it's also upsetting because Veronica Mars is praised as a show that really does stand up for feminism and has strong female characters. And I think Mac, just what we've seen of her so far, we know she's smart and capable and funny. And Veronica is a clear example of that. So to have Meg, who was a different sort of feminist icon, be kind of written off in this way, I agree, is kind of disappointing.
It just feels like a waste to have her survive that bus crash and then to have her die like that. Like, the only purpose of her dying like that was to bring the baby into the world, which is drama that we don't even want.
It's not even drama that's Veronica Mars caliber.
Yeah,
It's just like
exactly.
an
So
easy out.
it doesn't feel like writing appropriate to the show, and that doesn't work for me at all.
Agreed.
Yeah. So let's kind of move away from Duncan and Veronica and the baby. And let's get to the case. I really actually liked this sort of case of the week. I thought it was really interesting to see Veronica as a jury foreman. Did you guys enjoy this?
I
I
loved
loved this. It was so
it.
different from everything else that
Oh, good.
they've been doing. Like, it's not the what can we do in the high school this week? It's completely different. And I just loved how they kind of kept the case of the week, but made it interesting and out of our usual settings. And I loved that.
It was so good. This, if I ignore all the pregnancy stuff, this was definitely one of my favorite episodes that I've seen so far. Because as soon as you see it, you're like, of course Veronica should be on a jury. That makes so much sense. You know, with her
Yeah.
character and everything, it's so obvious. But yeah, it was really clever the way they did it. And I like how they tied it back into the town and everything, but it was still separate enough that you didn't feel like it was just this ongoing thing. Like it was, yeah, it gave a little bit of separation between kind of the usual events and what was happening. And yeah, it was just, I really, really loved it. It was so fun.
Yeah, and it gives a different look at the class struggles that are happening because before we only get it through the high school. And while, yes, that's very telling of what the town is like, it also made it look like just high school drama. So then when we see it in the jury, like when we see the guy who refuses to vote against the two white boys, or the two, I guess, affluent kids, it kind of makes it a more whole place to me because we get to see more than just these high school kids living in this town.
Yeah, and this was also a really successful piece of writing, I feel like, because again, they didn't go down this super obvious route that they could have done. And I liked that Veronica wasn't initially the one who was voting against the others, because I thought she was going to be. Like, I think that's, you just assume, oh, Veronica's always for the good guys, la la la. But that sassy juror lady was my favorite character that has like ever been on this show. I just loved her so much. And I also really
She was
liked
great.
yeah,
Yeah.
the other one I really enjoyed was the like sports guy with the baseball cap who looked really
Yeah.
familiar. I can't work out what I know him from. But I really
He's in Scrubs, I
Is he?
think. He's that I he's
Oh,
one of the
yeah, he
characters who
is.
like pops up in different things, but I think
Yes.
he's that guy who walks around in like a man thong sometimes in Scrubs or something.
Yes, he is from Scrubs. You are so right. Okay, I feel
Yeah.
better now. I really liked that when he voted with Veronica, the jerk white guy was like, "What are you doing?" And the sports guy who you kind of expect to be a jock and you expect to be the one that won't go along with the others is like, "Hey, well, she made a really good case." So, and I really like when they do the little just casual subversion of your assumptions. And I think they did it really effectively in this, with those, just with those few characters. But man, that sassy Jurat lady, just give her a spin-off. I just want her to like be Veronica's sidekick and just walk around as she solves crimes and just like be like, like, okay. And just
And
do
then
her
knits
knit a
her
few
stuff.
sweaters. Yeah, and
Yeah.
then just knits. Yeah. And they're like, okay, we have to stay here for longer. She's like, no problem, and just starts knitting again. Oh, best character.
So good. Yeah, I'm really glad you like this case too, because I really, it's probably one of my favorite cases that Veronica comes across, just because you get these different characters that we've never seen or have no context for, and it's a lot of fun.
The variety is so refreshing.
Yeah,
I think it was needed. So the more ways they can find to take us out of the typical high school case of the week, the better. And this was a really smart way of doing it.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh yeah. Speaking of laws and I guess people outside of the high school, we see Keith and Sheriff Lamb not exactly working together, but Keith has to help out with things going on at the police station because those tapes were stolen. What would we think of them as like working together if that ever had to happen again? Because we saw it once in the Strangler case. Do we see Sheriff Lamb kind of stepping into like a deputy role against Keith whenever he comes around?
I wish we saw that because Sheriff Lamb is hilarious, especially when he was working out in the beginning of the episode and showing off his metaphorical guns. It was hysterical, and I really do love seeing Keith and him interact, and I think it's a witty banter in its own right. So I hope we see more of them. I think that's a really fun part of the show that's yet to be fully explored.
His line about like fitness and crime solving getting in the way of fitness is hilarious.
Oh, he makes my skin crawl sometimes. Like, he makes me laugh, but he's just so frustrating. And I feel that if he has to, or if he always kind of steps back into this deputy role against Mr. Mars, that people should see he has no business being sheriff. But politics, so.
I find him more palatable now that we've had that abuse storyline and we know a little more about him, so I'm able to tolerate him more, I think.
Oh, I don't. That did nothing for me, that storyline. I was like, well, no, still a jerk, not an excuse.
I don't think it's an excuse, but it, kind of supplements your understanding of him.
Yeah, I guess I just feel like there hasn't been enough exploration of that for it to really affect how I see his character. So they've kind of flagged it now, I suppose. So if they go back and do a bit more about him, then, that would be fine. I would be interested in that. But yeah, he's like one of those characters that is, he's funny. He's really funny, but in a kind of cringeworthy way. And then you realize this guy is in charge of this town, basically. And then it's just really depressing.
So depressing. Like,
Right?
I would hate him. I would hate to have him be my sheriff. I feel like nothing would ever get done, and I would be in constant fear. And all of these class wars are going on, and he's the one who's in charge of the police? I don't think so.
Yeah, professionally, I think he's kind of incompetent, but just as a human being, I'm more capable of tolerating him, I guess. But yeah, I would
Yeah.
not feel safe living in Neptune if he were the sheriff either.
Right. I still think he's kind of a jerk as well, though. So, yeah, it's not just that he's kind of incompetent, it's that he's, yeah, he just kind of sucks. So, I'm not a huge fan of him. I always enjoy the moments with he and Keith, though, when Keith makes him look foolish, because I'm like, yeah, that's what this town needs. More of this time.
And then at the complete opposite end of the spectrum, we have Leo. And he kind of comes back. We see him again. I mean, he's not really out of character, but do you think, how did you kind of deal with his storyline with selling the tapes in order to help pay for his sister's education and the help that she needs?
It was sad.
Yeah.
It was
I
sad, but
never liked
long.
him, so.
Oh, you didn't? Did I know
Well,
this?
only
yes, because
like
I
him
always talk about
because.
how creepy he is.
Right, I
Well,
only
that's
liked him because of
because.
Schmidt. If I
Yes.
had seen this before, I had seen New Girl, I feel like I would be less into his character.
Okay, fair enough.
I've just always seen him as a little bit sleazy. And I don't know if it's just the affect of his voice or what, but I've never watched New Girl, so I don't have that to
Charm.
influence me.
You
But
need to watch
just
it.
him on screen, I'm just like, you are a little bit sleazy. So there was a moment when we were like, Leo did. I was like, of course he did.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of sad, but again, it was like just another one of those moments where I was like, come on, show, can you not think of another way to write these actors out of the series? Is this really what you're going for? I don't know who wrote these last couple episodes, but like I was not having it with some of these character exits. So, yeah, this entire thing with him selling the tapes to Logan, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit, I did not enjoy any of this storyline. It did not make me sympathetic to any of the characters involved, and I kind of just wish they would go back to the jury room every time this stuff was happening. I was like, go back to the angry man. That was way more fun.
See, I thought it made sense. Like, I don't know. I felt that Leo selling the tapes made sense because he did it for a good reason, even though, in my opinion, he should be tried. I don't think Keith simply letting him go and just be fired is the best option because he stole evidence from a criminal case and let the evidence be destroyed. So, I don't know. I think he did something that's wrong, but his character is still likable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Did we want to talk about the tapes and Logan possibly
Oh, I hate Logan.
being Really?
Okay, so this is my thing with this show, and like you guys can get mad at me if
Sure,
you want.
please.
The most interesting part of Veronica Mars to me is not the romance. And her relationship with Duncan was just like just tedious to me, and her relationship with Logan also, I understand that they're meant to have this like unbridled passion and blah blah blah, but it takes time away from the parts of the show that I actually really enjoy, which is like the kind of socioeconomic stuff and her relationship with Wallace and her relationship with her dad. So like I already was not super sympathetic towards Logan's character, and then he's just one of those characters that is just really like, I just felt like this is so dumb. It was just such a dumb move. And I am trying deeply to understand why it would be okay. I'm using safe words now. Like I'm trying to empathize with the reason that he did this, but I can't. I just think it's really dumb. And I think it makes sense for his character because he's fairly impulsive in that way, and he's definitely got money to burn and tapes to burn. But yeah, it was not my favorite thing, and Logan is like not my favorite character by any means. So this was frustrating to say the least.
I understand your opinion, but I don't know. I think, yes, it was impulsive of him, but I don't think he would have stolen the tapes if Leo didn't offer them. Like, I think he would have let them be in evidence. But I think the idea of seeing his dead love on the internet with his father and just being made into a spectacle really hurt him. And I think he just didn't want Lily to be remembered like that. So even though it's the wrong thing to do and it is impulsive, I do think he didn't mean anything wrong by it. And I don't think it was to protect his father, as Keith suggests at the end.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. I guess from what they've shown of Logan's character, I think they've made him too smart to make a decision like this without realizing what it means. And what it means is that it'll probably screw up the case. So if he, you know, if they didn't, if he wasn't so intelligent and he wasn't able to put things together, it probably wouldn't bother me so much. But like we know he's a smart guy. So there is no way that he does this without realizing what this means for the future of the case.
I have a quick question about that. Sorry. But in terms of screwing up the case, how, I guess, equal is having the tapes versus having testimony from people who have seen the tapes? Isn't it less?
It's definitely less. I mean, I think the fact that the people who have seen the tapes, for sure, that we know about, Logan, who obviously doesn't like his father, you know, since his father abused him and slept with his girlfriend, Veronica, who is a credible witness, but they could make arguments against her, and Duncan, whose sister was killed, you know, supposedly by Aaron Eccles. And so I'm sure maybe Keith or someone else has seen the tapes as well in the sheriff's office, but it really hurts the case from a legal standpoint.
Okay, because, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, it becomes hearsay, and it'd be very easy, just one slip of a tongue, and suddenly people can poke holes in how consistent the stories are of what's in the tape just because someone misspeaks or something. Whereas if you have the actual physical evidence, you know, no one can poke holes in the actual evidence that they're looking at.
Right, and the whole point with this is, like, it's even more important because the tapes are his entire motive for what he did. So it's not just, you know, some kind of circumstantial stuff. This is the kind of the crux of the case.
Okay.
Yeah. Lawyer time on Rewatchable.
Yeah. Thank you. Were you going to say something before, Caitlin? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say that I think, to Marama's point about Logan, I do think, you know, he is smart, but that doesn't always translate when you're impulsive like that. So you act before you have a chance to think. And I think that's the thing with Logan, is he does a lot of acting before he thinks about it. So he's not really contemplating the ramifications when he's jumping. And he would put it together later. But I think just he had the opportunity and he did it. And then that was that. It doesn't take away from him being smart, or his smarts doesn't really take away from what he did. It's just he's not thinking about that when it's such a personal thing to his heart.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. I don't get the Logan love, I have to say. So we'll wait and see how this goes. I get that that's like the big love story of Veronica Mars, but I'm not really buying it, I have to say.
I mean, it's a love story between Veronica and Logan, but I think it's also a love story between the audience and Logan, just from progression through season one. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, where I am right now as a newbie, I don't find the need for him and Veronica to be together to love him. Like, I love him on his own completely. In fact, I don't even like Veronica as a person very much. So I'm far more interested in Logan personally than I am Veronica, which might be weird, but I prefer him to her character-wise.
Yeah, I definitely... I prefer him, like, his character development and stuff kind of as his own storyline outside of the stuff that's happening with Veronica, but I still don't really like him. So, yeah, sorry. Sorry, all.
Yeah, understandable.
I think this is an unpopular opinion in the Veronica Mars fandom. We'll see how it goes. Maybe he'll grow in me. Maybe it's a very, very gradual build.
Yeah, and maybe some of it might have been rushed with your 18-hour marathon.
Maybe. That could have influenced it slightly.
Could be. And if not, I mean, everybody's entitled to liking things. I don't like things in certain shows that everyone else does, so it's okay. Totally fine. But one last thing with Logan. I enjoy Logan, but I really disliked him saying the word dude. I disliked him saying it towards Keith because it's disrespectful. And I just thought it was awkward coming out of his mouth because I feel like I've never heard him say that before.
It was definitely a dick thing to say.
Yeah.
Dick the character.
The surfer guy.
Yeah.
Dick the character.
Sorry if that wasn't clear. But no, it was definitely, Logan is a surfer. That is clear, but at the same time, Logan is really smart, even if he hides it. So I don't think he we've never heard him say dude. That is, what his friends say. So again, yeah, I agree. It was just really disrespectful. And I get that there's tension there, that Keith came in when Veronica and Logan were breaking up and obviously didn't like Logan, but it was just really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
that's
don't think that,
disrespectful.
I don't feel like Logan has a reason to be pissed at Keith. I understand why Keith has issues with Logan, but Logan disrespecting Keith like that did not sit super well with me.
Yeah, it just, no. One of the last things we learned in this episode is that Meg died. And we just kind of, we covered that already. But it's just kind of a sad yet predictable thing to end an episode with. So I was kind of disappointed in the writers, as we were talking about, disappointed in that. But then I will give a little bit of redemption to the writers because Wallace returns. And it makes me so happy. Just him coming in on New Year's. I don't know. What did you think of his return?
Very good. This show needs Wallace.
Show
Wallace is,
does.
I think Wallace is my favorite character on this, on Veronica Mars. I'm not sure. I think it is very lacking without him there to balance out Veronica, because she doesn't really have any friends otherwise, except for Mac, who knows what she does when she's, in between her 3 or 4 episodes. So I was very pleased when Wallace came back, because I was like, things are getting back on track now. Hopefully this will be better. So yes, that was good. Although, as we said, Meg's death was ridiculous.
It came out of nowhere a little bit, but then I was like, that's okay, because it's Wallace.
Okay,
Right.
exactly. And I mean, out of everything snarky he could have said, just him saying, and I mean, this is my favorite line, so I guess we'll have to go over it later, but just him saying Happy New Year, I was completely okay with that.
I liked
I don't
it.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cute. It was adorable. He made that line special somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, Wallace
I
is a
don't
sweetheart.
know.
They were cuddling on the couch. It was really cute.
Just as a
Yeah.
shout out to Percy Daggs the third, he's also a sweetheart in person, so I think we should just give him props for being best friends with Veronica and for being an awesome person.
Oh, just
Thank
name
you for the reminder
dropping.
that you've met.
Sorry, I just felt it was necessary in that moment.
I think that's
Fine.
fine.
A little bitter, but it's okay. All right. So that's pretty much everything we had to say about this episode. Anybody have anything else? Are we just kind of over it? We're done.
I think we're good. I've hated
Yeah.
on everything, so I feel satisfied.
Good. We're good. We need some of that sometimes. It's good.
Sure.
All right. All right. Favorite scenes. Mine was, I don't know if I'd call it necessarily my favorite, but it's one that definitely sticks out to me, and it's Veronica and Meg's reconciliation. I chose it because I don't know if I like it or not, or if I buy it or not. But it's just one that always kind of sticks out or sticks in my mind whenever I watch it. So I guess we'll say it was my favorite scene. Gabrielle, what was yours?
My favorite scene is when Logan burns and erases the tapes, and he's crying, obviously. And how Keith deals with him, I thought was very, very nice and was very fatherly, which Logan needed at that moment, and I appreciated it.
Caitlin, favorite scene.
Mine was just the whole Christmas Eve scene with Veronica and her dad and the game hens and Veronica's elf hat. It was just really cute and just love their little family dynamic and just a little celebrate the holiday. It was sweet.
I forgot that even happened. That was great. I loved that too.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad because we don't even know that it's Christmas Eve at all. So we're kind of so much into their lives where they're not kind of building up to Christmas, whereas some of us normally would. And then we get surprised that, oh, it is Christmas. Oh, that's so cute. Marima, favorite scene.
Oh, well, as mentioned before, just everything with the sassy Jira. She was my favorite. I
That's
can't explain how much I enjoyed those scenes in the with the jury, but her especially, she was fantastic. She was fantastic.
yes, agreed. Favorite lines. I already said mine was Wallace's Happy New Year. So we'll move on to Gabrielle, favorite line.
My favorite line is Veronica when they're celebrating Christmas or Christmas Eve and she gets her present. And so beforehand, she goes, "I'm so impressed you fit a pony into my room. Presents, presents, presents." And she's just a great actress and it made me laugh and I love her.
Always wanting that pony or a unicorn or both. Caitlin, favorite line.
This pains me to give my favorite line to this character. Like it physically pains me, but this line really stuck out to me. So when Dick comes up to Duncan and invites him to the party, and Duncan's like, "I've got holidays in Sun Valley with the parents." And Dick goes, "Dude, seriously? Snow, pine trees, family? That's not the holidays. Party boat, crazy Chinese pyro guy? I'm feeling that."
I know it pains you, but it makes me so happy.
Just like, that's everything about the holidays. You are ridiculous. And I hate you, but that line was hilarious.
Hate you, but I love you. And Marama, favorite line.
My favorite line goes to Veronica, and when she's talking to Duncan about the baby, and he's like, "Oh, it doesn't matter, don't worry about it." And she's like, "Your secret illegitimate child gestating in the womb of your comatose ex-girlfriend affects neither you nor me." And apart from it being hilarious, I think this was the moment that I really realized Veronica Mars is a soap opera, and that had never quite clicked with me before, because I was like, "Oh yeah, it's like a procedural kind of mystery, dramedy thing," and I was like, "No, this is a soap opera," and that line summarized it.
Really is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
not in
The
a
best part
really
of that
campy.
is that the castle episode that the Max actress was on was she was the assistant of a writer of a soap opera.
Connections.
Oh, I saw that.
So many connections.
I'll have to watch this now. I do enjoy Castle.
It sounds intriguing. I've never seen Castle. I mean, I feel like
Oh,
I've never seen
Pucha.
anything. I
Nathan
know.
Fillion, come
What is right?
on.
Have you seen Firefly at least? You're going to say no, aren't you?
No comment.
Caitlin.
Well, you can watch our last rewatchable.
Caitlin, we have
No,
so
I'm
much work
obsessed
to
with
do.
it. Oh, I know. What is with the lack of weed knowledge
I've
going on
seen
here?
so many other things, and I am a Whedon fan, but I like not TV, mostly Avengers. But
That does not count. That is not Whedon.
I
That's
know.
no. Also,
I can't.
I got so excited when I saw Joss Whedon in one of the other episodes that I missed, as you guys saw from my running commentary.
It's so good.
I screamed at my TV.
I got so excited. Actually, if we're gonna name drop, I was like, "I met him!" And then I realized I was in my house by myself and I needed to stop speaking. So I was like, "It's
You
Joss
name
Whedon."
drop now.
Yeah, I'm name
Oh.
dropping. I interviewed Joss Whedon. What's up? Yeah.
So jealous. You'll actually be very dismayed to know that when we were talking about that episode, we didn't even bring up Joss Whedon until favorite scenes when I mentioned that he was on there, and nobody knew that that was him.
What? Who was on that episode? I
It was not me,
was gonna say,
promise. It's
Caitlin.
probably
Eyeless.
been
Yeah.
Mitch and Ariana,
That okay,
which
that's
they're
not
taking
entirely
third.
surprising. The other guest I really enjoyed, just while we're summarizing my 16 episodes, was Laura Bell Bundy. From she was the girl that wanted to track down like what her fiance was doing, and he was like taking Jewish
Yes.
lessons. She was the best. I really enjoy
She's
her.
so. I love when Veronica tackles her in the middle of the yard.
Yes. Yeah, I was
It's
like,
wonderful.
I was waiting. I was like, "Oh, come on, get her to sing something, like sing along with the radio or something." But no dice.
No dice. Sorry. All right. So, to get to a little bit of listener feedback for you today, let's see. Who would like to take this one from Monica?
Okay, so
Please.
this is from Monica and Hyperbole, I guess, talking about Veronica's reaction to Logan having a gun. So Monica says, I think her reaction to Logan's gun arises from her fear of his destructive tendencies. In the first episode of this season, she broke up with him because she couldn't stand by and watch him start a war with the PCA. PCHs. Sorry, I can't read. A few episodes ago, when she discovered his affair with Kendall, she said he was a rich boy with a death wish. So, what do you guys think?
I see her point. I think I can understand her reaction to Logan's gun. I still can't, I guess, grasp that that was her first reaction when she got into the car and started crying. I don't know. But that totally makes sense to me. What about you guys?
I agree with Monica. That's what I thought. Also, I feel like, sorry, this is just a not being an American thing, but like any reaction to someone buying a gun should be hysterical crying. So, totally appropriate.
It should.
I feel like this was more or less what I was saying on the episode of, because I had the same reaction that Veronica did. Because it's literally Chekhov's gun. Like, there's the gun, and it's
Yeah,
gonna go off.
it's
Like,
gonna
it's a
go off.
point, it's gonna go off, and there are gonna be problems.
Yeah, I understand. All right, so if you want to get in contact with us, great, please do. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at I'm sorry, re underscore watchable. You can comment on this post on Hyperbole, and I promise we will comment back to you this week. I was slacking a little last week, and I apologize. And you can also, if you like us enough, leave us a review on iTunes, and let other people find us. The more we get reviews, the easier it is for other Veronica Mars fans or people who don't know that they're Veronica Mars fans yet. It's either easier for them to find us. And if you leave us a review, we will show up at your doorstep on New Year's Eve and wish you a happy New Year's, just like Wallace. So I think that's everything that we've got for you guys today. So we are going to call it a day, and we will be back next time with the next two episodes. So I'm Danielle.
I'm Gabrielle.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Marima.
And we'll see you next time, Marshmallows. Have a good week.
Bye.
Hi, guys.
Bye, everybody.